Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we ride the Soul Train all the way to Mars.
Where it turns out, there was something fun in 2016.
Hey, Patrick. Here we are in a different basement.
Greetings, Jim. We are in another suburban basement.
We're here at my house.
I've been here before. I like it.
Yeah.
There's lots of gaming.
And the thing that's right behind me is a mini fridge.
Yes, it is.
Every suburban basement should have. And I just pulled something out of there.
That's right.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to you. And if I peek my head around the corner, I can see the jukebox.
Yeah, the jukebox. That's going to become a whole episode where we're going to talk
Absolutely.
About the jukebox at some point. But not today.
We're going to shrink ourselves and go inside the jukebox, which is going to be great.
Yeah. So, you are listening to Rockin' the Suburbs, and it is a music show brought to you by two suburbanites in Northern Virginia. But there are suburbs everywhere. And
there are.
You can probably relate to our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And we're just really into music. And, you know, Patrick mentioned the jukebox. And over at Patrick's house, he's got a basement full of records. And we like to get together and play records and talk and do all of that.
That's all we do.
And so I'm Jim Lenihan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And with us today by phone from Birmingham, Alabama, is an old friend of mine, Ed Bowser. Ed, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Ed's on the phone here, and Ed and I worked together when I lived in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
We both worked at the newspaper there, and he's just a great guy and really into music, and his wife also worked for me at the paper there, Gervasia, and they now live in Birmingham, and they're just tearing it up down there.
It's a great rock and roll city, man. Historically, it actually it is unknown, but it's got some history.
And to give you a sense of Ed's musical knowledge, I want you to talk a little bit about the work that you do with, you know, I Got Soul and also Soul in Stereo. Did I get those both right?
You got them both right.
Okay, so
and I'd be happy to chat about them. I actually started Soul in Stereo as an offshoot of a blog that my wife started in Louisville. Called Georgia May. She had a blog where she wanted to write about women's issues, and I had my own little corner of the blog where I wrote about music. And that music section got to be really popular that it sort of kind of overtook the blog, and she was like, look, dude, you just have this. I'll just make something up. So that evolved into Soul in Stereo, and that Georgia May launched, I think, maybe 2008. I think I took over with Soul in Stereo maybe 2012. So I've been doing this for probably going on 10 years now. We're getting old, Jim. We've been doing this forever. So Soul in Stereo is a site that speaks specifically for album reviews, usually hip-hop, rap, a little bit of pop, a little bit of gospel. We mix some things in. And then it's also a place for me to just offer commentary on pop culture goings, lots of stuff that going on, especially in the past year or two, that have really kind of stimulated conversation. So that's my good outlet there. My friends over at YouKnowIGotSoul.com, they are kind of the premier R&B site for the nation right now. Mm-hmm. They're really, really doing big things there. They focus primarily on R&B, kind of the not only breaking artists, but artists that we remember from the 80s and 90s who are still doing their thing, maybe not high profile, but they do a great job with interviews and kind of reaching out and keeping the names of those artists out there. I, of course, come in, do what I always do, my music reviews. We have a podcast that we do every week, where we just kind of spout about the week in music, and it's a great time. Shout out to Tom and Kyle, YouKnowIGotSoul.com. My boys love them to death. We just argue all day on text and podcast, so it just kind of translates into that. I'm sure you guys can relate.
Absolutely.
We're just music fans, and we love doing and talking about this stuff.
Oh, it's great. They
totally,
go,
man.
And one of the things they do that's really cool, and we're kind of stealing this with our podcast, Ed, is that, you know, you have a segment where you just talk about other stuff beyond music, you know, and you guys argue about food and, you know, all kinds of different things, right? It's just really fun.
Totally stealing.
It's ridiculous. And we always kind of do a lot of that stuff cold, so the reactions can be genuine, and we don't really rehearse it. So what you're hearing is probably my frustration real time.
And so on your Soul in Stereo blog, you write a lot of reviews, things like that. And I believe you claim that you listen, or you try to listen to, like, every major, like, hip-hop and R&B release that comes out, right?
every single one. And I, this year, I always kind of do it and kind of keep mental notes. But this year, I spent the entire year writing notes from January, what I reviewed, what I score I gave it, and kept this gigantic running list. So by mid-December, I could just go back and look and make sure I hit all the points. There was an album that I missed that I left blank. I went back and listened to it. So, yep, I made sure that I just covered all the bases. Because if you want to say something's the best, you really don't want to try to leave anything off.
So, Ed, it's a good thing you're on the phone here because you missed the little suburban
That's right.
beer spill that Patrick just did on the table here in the basement. So
party foul early on here. Sorry about that.
Get turned up pretty early.
Yeah. It's pretty early.
Yeah. So, you know, it's bound to happen. So, okay. So we have the real authority here, Patrick. This is
the guy. It sounds like it. And that's so impressive that you have the capacity to listen to that much music. And I just got to ask one question after hearing that. How many times would you say you listen to each record? I mean, do you have time to give them, you know, two or three, four spins? But I imagine your, you know, your taste and your critical sensibilities must be pretty sharp. So maybe it doesn't take you all that many times to kind of get a handle on the record.
Well, I think it's fair. Like every album, some albums, as you know, are growers, and some like you have to listen to multiple times to unfold. The most recent album, well, I think it wasn't my most recent album. I just posted something today, but the one before that, an artist known as Ab Soul, he is very dense with his concepts and his lyrics, and it just takes a lot to unfold. So everything I review, I listen to at least twice. Okay. A guy like Ab Soul, you're gonna have to like listen to him three or four times to kind of figure out what he's talking about.
Yep.
And once you get that, then I kind of come up with the score, write it out, come up with a narrative in my head as I'm listening, and that's kind of how the reviews come out. And then, of course, through the year, you're continuing to go back and revisit stuff that isn't total garbage, just the good stuff I go back and listen to. And that sometimes the scores never change, but in my head, the rankings might move up and down a spot or two.
Mm-hmm.
So everything gets a good listen. I would say everything I've heard at least three times this year.
Wow.
There's nothing I haven't heard like once.
Wow. Well, as long as you keep your stamina up, that's going to be a pretty impressive list.
Well, you just got to work it in. Like if sometimes I might be at work doing some things. I'll have my headphones in. If I'm around the house paying bills, just have it in. You just kind of work it in as part of the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We kind of know something about that, don't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so I want to throw out one name and see how you feel about this guy. And I'm going to tease an upcoming episode that we're going to record in a little while.
Okay.
So Patrick and I have been working on listening to a lot of albums that made various, you know, media outlets best of lists for 2016. Mm-hmm. And there's one guy who, you know, this album came out, I think, early in the year, but it didn't really catch my attention. I know Patrick was a big fan, but I listened to it again just the other day based on it being on various best of lists, and now I'm just like in love with it, and that's Malibu by Anderson .Paak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, your thoughts?
Huge fan of Anderson .Paak. I heard him. He's been around for years and years. This is his breakout album, but he's been around for years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he was featured on a lot of albums from The Game, who released like two albums back to back, and Dr. Dre, who finally released his full detox album that we've been waiting on for over 10 years, Compton. He was featured prominently on all these albums. And I was like, who is this guy, this thing? His voice is so distinct.
Yep.
And it's almost like this kind of rap scene type thing that he does. So you definitely, when you hear Anderson .Paak track, you know it's him. So he came on, really turned heads. And when he released Malibu, it really captured my attention. And even though, like you said, it came out at the beginning of the year, it stayed in my playlist all year long.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. I think he landed at like number five on my list.
Wow.
Pretty high up.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. So we're going to talk about that later on. Yeah. I just wanted to get Ed's feeling on that.
Love it.
And then the other thing, Ed, I wanted to touch on real quick in 2016 was the loss of Prince, number mm-hmm. one. I know you're a big fan. In fact, I've seen mm-hmm. that you've, on occasion, on Halloween, have dressed like Prince, right?
I do have the purple raincoat.
Nice.
So there's that. And then we just lost Sharon Jones not too long ago, too.
Right.
And yeah. You know, so it's been a rough year, I think, for music.
We lost Soul Two. We lost Fife Dawg,
yep.
Shorty Lowe. They've been mm-hmm. artists just like left and right. That and these aren't artists who are like in their 80s
right.
or who have lived a long life. These are pretty striking losses because these are people that are relatively young. I think Sharon was maybe in the 60s, but
right,
again,
yeah.
she was not old. But it's just as fans of this music, we become so close to these artists. We may have never met them in our life, may not have ever seen them with real eyes, but because they are so close to our lives and their music defines so many aspects of our lives, losing them is like losing a family member. So it's been a really tough year to lose these high-profile artists who have given us just unforgettable music over the years.
Well said.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back, and Ed's going to reveal his favorite song of 2016.
Can't wait.
All right.
Yep.
Hey, Jim.
Yes?
I think something's wrong with me.
Well, I've known that for some time, but what are you specifically referring to?
I dreamt about Quart Jar again last night.
Again? Mm-hmm. So what's Quart Jar?
You know, the band that does the intro music.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Quart Jar.
Yeah.
What was your dream?
That they were the Slade of outer space.
Slade of outer space. Yeah, that's probably how they describe themselves. So we have them as sort of the unofficial house band of rock in the suburbs. But if you want to hear more of their music,
I would love to.
Yeah, you can go to iTunes or Bandcamp or Spotify and just search for Quart Jar. And this is really exciting because in 2017, they're working on a new release, which is called Squatch, an Odyssey in Space and Time.
That was my dream.
Okay, Ed Bowser, are you ready for the big reveal, your favorite song of 2016?
I am always ready.
Would you like to set it up or would you like us to just play it? And then
just
talk.
Just play it and then I'm going to slide in because I need people to hear this great.
All right, here we go. But Patrick, you don't know what this is, right?
I can't wait. This is going to be great.
I got too many girls on hold for you to be so bold. Too many on my team for you to act so mean. You say you wanna go and have fun, but you ain't the only one. If I ring, don't let it ring too long, or I'm gone. I got Aisha waiting, Aisha waiting. All the issues waiting on me. So why you contemplating, play or hating? If this is how it's gonna be.
Okay, there we go.
Yes.
So what do we got?
We got the best song that I've heard all year. That's what we got.
That's a little Bruno Mars.
Oh, is that Bruno Mars? Okay.
calling.
Yes, that is Bruno Mars.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I would not have guessed in a blind test that that was Bruno Mars.
The song is Calling All My Lovelies.
Loved it.
So what do you like about it, Ed?
That album, 24K Magic, it was, and like we said earlier, I have like listened to pretty much every, especially every major release from rap, R&B, most of the pop releases for the year. And the sound for the year has been this very murky, atmospheric, really dour, really heavy. Bruno came and gave us something that was fun. And that is what we really, really were missing in 2016. Just mm-hmm. a fun record. And his first single was 24K Magic. It was great. It was fun. But this one is just a throwback to the music that I love from the early 90s. Just the hokey lyrics.
Yeah.
The we are whispering throughout the track. It's so much fun. And when you want to look at it from a technical aspect, his vocals are pristine. He's hitting those notes like nothing sounds like water. Like, it's just wonderful. And we didn't get all the way into the track, but later on there's a cameo from Halle Berry.
Hi, you've reached Halle Berry. Sorry I can't get to the phone right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll get right back to you.
It's just over the top, hilarious, but it also goes back to the core sound of early 90s R&B that we've kind of been missing, and it shows that sound is kind of, it still holds up today. It's just so much fun. That song, I was just grinning on the other end of this line listening to that song.
I got to say, I have not listened to this album yet, but I'm going to now.
And I'm in the same boat.
I don't know that he made the best choice for the actual album cover art.
A friend of mine said he looks like he's in Mexico outside of a gas station waiting to be picked up.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, Bruno Mars is one of those guys I think just really surprises you because, you know, when his first album came out about 6 years ago, I didn't pay much attention to it. It just seemed like, you know, he was just another pop star. And I, you know.
Yeah, just another disposable pop guy.
That's right.
Was right with you.
That's right. But it's a really good record. And the thing that really turned me around on him was when he, the first time he played the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yep.
When I saw that, because I, like I said, I never really paid much attention to him at all. And he was so good and so kind of like old school cool in his approach. And not only the way he dressed, but, you know, just the way he sings too. And the style of music and everything. And that really turned me around and made me think like this guy's got some substance. He's something special.
Yeah. And you can tell it. I think that performance was his breakout as far as nationalized, because I will readily admit, I wrote him off as a pop guy. He had some okay songs. He had a great voice. That was, you know, can't question that. Mm-hmm. But the talent, when we saw him on the big stage, he just commanded the stage. The performance was great. And his later albums just show so much. And he just had a mind to be so diverse. Like, he could have just rolled that pop wave forever, but we saw with the Uptown Funk song, which honestly, you know, you could not escape that song. I got so sick of it.
Right.
But it just showed that he could do funk so well. Girl, set your hallelujah. Girl, set your hallelujah. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. And now with this album, he's showing he can do R&B better than the R&B guys.
Yeah.
He's just so versatile, and I think that's what's really turning heads. This is the album that made me from, okay, he's an all right guy, so all right, this guy's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, no, great pick, great pick. Calling All My Lovelies. So,
yeah, lovely pick.
Speaking of Uptown Funk, I got to tell you a little suburban story here. Was that my son's middle school concert band recital?
Okay.
And as part of the show, they had the school, middle school, jazz band play. Now, he's not in the jazz band. He's in the concert band.
Okay.
But one of the songs that the jazz band played was Uptown Funk.
Nice. I can see that working out as an arrangement for the middle school band.
It got the place going. And I also got to say, and the band director gave this girl a shout out. They had a you know, seventh grade girl playing bass, and she was like a rock star.
Really?
She was good. She played both electric and upright on some other songs. And she was really good, man. I was like, there's a rock star in the waiting. Yeah, right there. So, okay. All right. So, thank you very much, Ed Bowser. Again, tell people where they can find you and your work.
You can find me at soulinstereo.com, soulinstereo.com. You can also find me on Twitter, Stirring Pot, at E.T. Bowser, E-T-B-O-W-S-E-R, like the bad guy from Mario. You can find me on Twitter there. Or check me out on Facebook, and make sure you check out my boys at YouKnowIGotSoul.com, where they are always on the cusp of anything breaking for R&B, and you can see a bunch of my reviews there, too.
Cool.
Sweet.
Thanks for the pick, and I'm sure we're going to be talking with Ed again on other matters of music, because this guy really knows his stuff. And also, you know, he comes up to Virginia from time to time.
All right.
But he doesn't get this far north. You're always, like, down in, like Norfolk or something like that, right?
Right. My parents are from there. I'm actually a product of Portsmouth, Virginia, the hometown of Missy Elliott. So nice. Don't make it to your area too often, but sometimes I do, so I might have to pop in.
Yeah, if you ever do, the basement's just waiting for you here, Ed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Just clean up the beer. We'd be good.
Yeah, it might smell a little bit. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Ed. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. Talk to y'all.
All right. Bye-bye. And you can find this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably already found it, but you can tell others about
listening
it.
To it.
Rockin' the Suburbs. It's on iTunes and Audio Boom. Mm-hmm. And you can also email us at suburbspod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Twitter at suburbspod. You can also find us on Facebook. Same deal, suburbspod.
Remember that.
All right. So I'm Jim Lenihan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you later.
We can redo the end. I mean, maybe we do redo the intros after we listen back to it and edit it a little bit.
That's true too.
With a little music underneath, like, you know, and then we just sort of slowly fade it up. Yep. Little court jar. That could be great.
Any amount of court jar.
Any amount of court jar is a good amount of court jar.
All right.